And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Non-alcoholic wine and gluten-free bread should not be used as substitutes during Holy Communion, the governing body of the Church of England has ruled. Church guidance makes clear that bread must be made from wheat flour and wine must be the fermented juice of the grape in order to be consecrated as part of the service. In papers released ahead of the Church's General Synod, which opens on Monday, the barrier for those who are unable to consume wheat flour or alcohol was described as an injustice. Alternatives made from rice or potato flour are not allowed to be substitutes, although wheat flour can be processed to remove substantial amounts of gluten, and alcohol can be removed after fermentation process, but a residue will always remain. The Church's governing body came under fire from Synod member Canon Alice Kemp, who asked, "Can consideration be given to enable the legal use of gluten-free and alcohol-free elements at the Eucharists to remove the injustice of this exclusion?" Both priests and congregants who are unable to consume gluten and or alcohol are forced to receive in one kind only, or may be prohibited from receiving both elements if they are unable to consume both gluten and alcohol. But the Right Reverend Michael Ipgrave, the Bishop of Lichfield and Chairman of the Church's Liturgical Commission, says such a move would have to overturn two settled positions in the Church of England. First, that bread made with wheat and the fermented juice of the grape are the elements to be consecrated in Holy Communion, and second, that receiving Holy Communion in one kind in a case of necessity is not an exclusion, but full participation in the sacrament, as often practiced in the communion of the sick or with children, Bishop Ipgrave said. Indeed, even believers who cannot physically receive the sacrament are to be assured that they are partakers by faith of the body and blood of Christ and of the benefits he conveys to us by them, he added. The legal advisory also underlines that people who have celiac disease or alcoholism are still obliged to follow the ruling, although they are able to only consume one of the items to suit their health needs. At least 1 in 100 people in the UK have celiac disease, according to NHS figures, while latest official findings show there are an estimated 608,416 adults with alcohol dependence in England in 2019 to 2020. Monday's meeting of the General Synod is the first since the Right Reverend Justice Welby resigned as the Archbishop of Canterbury in November in what has been described as a time of unprecedented crisis over abuse failings. The Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, the Archbishop of York, who is standing in for Mr. Welby, will deliver an opening address to the meeting in London, but has faced his own calls to quit over safeguarding failures. The General Synod will enter 5 days of debate and various votes as the Church's handling of abuse cases is scrutinised again. Amid rumours of a no-confidence motion in Mr. Cottrell, some members of Synod have said it is not appropriate for him to give the opening address. In response, Mr. Cottrell has pledged to offer reflections on how we can be a church which is more transparent and accountable. 1 in 4 people view the Church of England favourably following its abuse scandal, a poll has found. A quarter of adults in England, Scotland and Wales, polled by YouGov on February the 2nd and 3rd, said they had a positive opinion of the institution, down from 32% in November. Almost half, 49%, said they had an unfavourable view of the Church, a rise from 39% in previous polling. It comes after the Right Reverend Justin Welby was forced to step down as Archbishop of Canterbury after a report found his failure to act on allegations of child abuse meant that John Smythe, the most prolific sexual abuser in the history of the Church, was never brought to justice. Meanwhile, Dr. John Perambalath, the Bishop of Liverpool, recently resigned after being accused of sexual misconduct by 2 women, including the Bishop of Warrington. The previous survey in November was carried out the week before Mr. Welby announced he was quitting. The latest poll of more than 2,200 adults showed that while 54% of Anglicans still had a positive view of the Church of England, this had fallen from 66% in November. Almost a third, 32% of Anglicans had an unfavourable view of the institution, up from 21% in November. On Tuesday, the Right Reverend Philip North, Bishop of Blackburn, said the church had recently suffered huge reputational damage at a national level. However, he said the church at a local level remained credible and still vibrant, but added that bishops had some work to do to recover trust. A religious office is being created in the White House to target anti-Christian bias within the federal government. Announcing the move at a national prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump said his relationship with religion had changed after two unsuccessful attempts on his life during the election campaign. Having launched his campaign against diversity, equity and inclusion, DEI, in government, the US president, a self-described non-denominational Christian, stepped up his efforts to solidify his support among conservative Christian evangelicals. The mission of this task force will be to immediately hold all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government, including at the DOJ, which was absolutely terrible, the IRS, the FBI, and other agencies, he said. Towards the end of his first administration, Mr. Trump engaged in what would prove to be a controversial photo call when he marched across Lafayette Square from the White House and posed with a Bible outside St. John's Church after demonstrators had been swept out of the way. In 2020, he became the first U.S. president to change denomination since Eisenhower, after he described himself as non-denominational, having previously identified as a Presbyterian. My suspicion is that the type of bias they are talking about are policies that are friendly to LGBTQ employees, Christopher Galdieri, professor of politics at St. Anselm College in New Hampshire, told The Telegraph. I think it's part of the anti-DEI efforts where conservative religious folks object to recognizing non-Christian faith, even like wishing a happy Diwali. The move could risk a legal challenge from secular groups who argue that it breaches the US Constitution's First Amendment, which banned Congress making any laws respecting an establishment of religion. This was a view held by Thomas Jefferson, America's third president, who said the federal government should have nothing to do with religion and in 1802 refused to proclaim a day of religious thanksgiving. However, constitutional expert Bruce Peabody believed that the current conservative-dominated Supreme Court would be unsympathetic to a challenge. For more than 50 years, courts have judged these cases by what is known as the Lemon Test, taken from the Lemon versus Kurtzman case in 1971. In short, it required government measures to have a secular purpose and neither advance nor prohibit a religion. We are in a new world where Lemon has been essentially overruled, Professor Peabody of Fairleigh Dickinson University told The Telegraph. The courts now give governments considerable leeway, he added, to protect religious expression. So would the Supreme Court invalidate this task force? I wouldn't bet on it. One of the strongest threads of the Roberts Court has been accommodating religion, especially Christianity. Voodooism is a protected religious belief, an employment tribunal has ruled for the first time. The religion has clear teachings and tries to explain mankind's place in the universe with its concept of spirits and divinity, a panel said. As a result, it is more than just an opinion and should be treated as a protected belief under workplace equality laws, meaning its followers cannot be discriminated against, the tribunal added. However, it found that a belief solely in voodoo dolls would not constitute a protected religious belief because they are not an authentic element of voodoo and instead come from misrepresentation in popular culture. Voodoo is practiced mainly in the Caribbean and the southern US and is based on African traditions involving magic and communication with spirits and dead people. The tribunal's ruling came in the case of a council worker who sued Walsall Metropolitan Borough Council for racial and religious harassment after a colleague said, "I'm like a voodoo doll with needles in her eyes." Carl Wint argued that as a Christian he was offended by the mention of the other religion, which is typically associated with spirits, and that the comment was made because he had Jamaican heritage. However, he lost his case after the panel found it was a poorly judged throwaway comment that was not directed at him. the Birmingham Tribunal heard that Mr. Widd began working as a support officer at Rivers House, a home for vulnerable young people in Warsaw, in April 2022. In June 2023, he did not show up for a shift because of a rota mix-up, and his colleague, Mandy Schoen, had to fill in for him. A few weeks later, they were discussing the misshift, and Ms. Schoen, who is white, said, "I'm like a voodoo doll with needles in her eyes." She told the tribunal this was a reference to how exhausted she'd been on the night she covered the shift, comparing herself to a voodoo doll with pins keeping her eyes open. Ms. Schoen added she would have made the same comment in front of a white colleague. Mr. Wink claimed that Ms. Schoen had said she was going to send him a voodoo doll with pins in, directing the comment at him, but employment judge Kate Edmonds found he was mistaken. The tribunal found he did not raise any concerns immediately after about the voodoo doll comment, and other staff remembered the atmosphere as light-hearted. A few days later, he did raise the issue with his line manager, who had heard the comment. In the interim, he discussed the incident with his daughter, who the tribunal found had been shocked and appalled by the comment and linked it to race, leading Mr. Wint to reflect further. He then raised a grievance with the council, but was told there was no evidence to support his claims. To determine whether Mr. Wint had been harassed, the tribunal had first to determine if voodoo is a protected belief, which has never been tested before. Employment Judge Edmonds concluded that the practice does constitute a religion, despite not having a central text, because there are clear teachings followers should live by. She said, "We have considered, first of all, whether voodooism would qualify as a religion or belief under the Equality Act 2010. We have not been able to find any authority on the point, and neither party was able to point us to any. We conclude that this is a spiritual belief system which is held by a group of adherents, and on a worldwide basis we note there are a large number of people who follow voodoo, some openly and some less so. It explains mankind's place in the universe and relationship with the infinite by reference to its divinity and spirits. Whilst there is no clear definition of what is good and what is evil set out centrally in any code or text, there is clear teaching that adherents should live their lives in conformity with the Iwa and what they represent. Iwa is the name given to spirits in Haitian voodoo, and followers believe that each person is connected to a specific Iwa who informs their personality. However, in Mr. Wint's case, because the comment was not directed at him and merely thoughtless, it did not constitute harassment, but it was ill-advised of Ms. Schoen to bring up voodoo. Voodoo is a sensitive subject for some, and therefore it was perhaps ill-advised for Ms. Schoen to refer to it in the workplace," a tribunal report said. Equally, however, we must not trivialise the concept of harassment, and not every adverse comment which relates to race and or religion or belief will amount to harassment. A reasonable person would have understood that people are not perfect and sometimes use language thoughtlessly. We consider that if Mr. Wint had heard the comment correctly, he should have appreciated that it was not directed at him and was instead a poorly judged throwaway comment. We conclude that the conduct did not have the effect of harassing him. Finally, Pastor Jamie's neighbour's dog died, so we went out and bought her an identical dog. She was livid. What am I going to do with two dead dogs?
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.